Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Aleph, and we got up to, actually went a little bit further, but let's start from right near the top. V'alo Minchat Kohanim U'Minchat Kohen Mashiach. The last thing that we learned was that we were going to be marbe things that are ba'ot b'fnei atzman, but things that are not ba'ot b'klal atzman, we won't include in the chiyuv of the tenufa and the hagosha. So we asked, if that's the case, if that is the criterion, so then minchas kohanim or minchas kohen mashiach should actually themselves, since they're ba'ot b'klal atzman, so if you're going to base it on that single criterion, so then you would think that they too would need hagasha. Talmud lomar, therefore it says v'higisha, dafka v'higisha, that particular one, and not the others, which means that we're referring to Mirchas Bar Cheshes as to oppose to Mirchas Kohani. But wait, I thought V'higisha is the mocker of the din of Hagosha. Don't we need that legufe, that you need Hagosha? And again, as we said yesterday, V'higish is the chiyuv of Hagosha. V'higisha is specifically this Hagosha, and not another Hagosha. So once again, how do I know to say that all of the other menachos that we included should be included because of the vehigish, and the one that we should be motzi would be to be motzi minchas kohanim u'minchas kohen mashiach? Well, basically, we need to understand that we really have a number of different criteria. So, marba nishar menachot, if we take a look at the overall structure of your other menachos, are similar to the five fundamental menachos of the Nedava, which is what Vayikra opens up with, because all of them have in common that some of that is put on the Ishim of the Mizbeach. Furthermore, they're coming because they are a separate carbon, not because they're part of another carbon. And furthermore, part of them go to the Kohanim. So therefore, if you take a look, I mean, b'sach hakol, what we have over here are really three different mi'utim, exclusions. So those exclusions, we had the v'higisha specifically, the v'hikriva specifically, and the me'ela, from but not all. So what we need to understand is that we've got three things, and we have these three criteria that we just mentioned. We have the fact that they are, in all of our examples, some goes to the Esh, some goes to the Kohen, and they are completely independent korbanos. So therefore, taking those three inyonim as being the criteria that have to be met, I'm not going to include the Shtei HaLechem and the Lechem HaPanim, because they do not have anything that's put on the Mizbeach. That's what's unique about them, and they don't match up the general format that we have of a Mincha. Now, I'm not going to include Minchas Nesachim either, because Minchas Nesachim is a carbon that doesn't come independently. It's entirely a function of bringing another carbon, a Shlomim or an Eila. And I'm also not going to include the Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach, because they are inconsistent with the overall dinim of Menachos having some chelek that the Kohanim eat. And dafke the Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the Kohanim don't get any of it. And therefore, if we have these three essential miyutim, these three essential miyutim are memayet, these three different things that don't match. That's why in the end, it all really makes a good deal of sense. Now let's get back to the pasuk. Okay, so we were talking about the dinim of the all of the dinim of the menachos. Okay, so we got up to what we do with all of the details of the dinim prior to the komets. So what we did was we analyzed every last word in that pasuk. We understood the mincha, we understood the la Hashem, we understood the hikriva, we understood the higisha, and we understood the mincha, and we understood the hi. Now let's move on to the next pasuk. So what's the next thing that we do? The next thing that we do is v'hirim heirim hakoyim min haminchat eskarata v'ktira mizbecha. So now we are up to the comments. Okay. Now it doesn't say here how to do the comments. It says lift out that chelek that is going on to the Mizbeach, and it's all it says. Nowhere does it mention over here that he should put his komets into it or anything like that. It just says, Ve'irim ha-kohim in ha-mincha. So you might think that this means yochol b'kli. Make a container and make it, even if you're going to hold that you need to have the size of a komets because of what we'll see later on in the pasuk, but I would think, okay, so you can always analyze the size of his komets and make a corresponding kli. But, I mean, it certainly doesn't say over here that you need to do it with a komets. It doesn't even say you need the size of a komets. Talmud Omar, so that's why in the next parsha, when we get to the dinim of Zot Torat HaMincha, there we have the halacha of Veherim Imenu Davka Bekumtso. So if that's when it uses the word Veherim, here, and it uses the word Veherim there, it's referring to the same Veherim. And therefore, it's telling me that just like it says Bekumtso in Tzav, so Maharamaha Amur Lahalon Bekumtso, Afarama Amur Khan, it's taking for granted. I mean, here it doesn't come to be Masbir Zotorat HaMincha. It's just telling me the Seder of the Avedis. Later, when it says Zotorat HaMincha, the Pesuk is Masbir to us that the way to do it is Dafka using your komets. And now we have a well-rested Richie who can no longer complain, and therefore he's going to give us a full rendition of...
Just because there weren't any alarms in the middle of the night doesn't mean I'm well rested.
I see.
Okay.
So now we're going to have complaints every night, like some kind of old fogey. Come on, give it to us. Not bad for an old fogey. Elu to unot. Now, this is just smack bang in the middle of the last Mishnah. This is not a separate Mishnah, obviously, because we started the last Mishnah with the list of things. We said, look, some things need tenufa, and not hagasha, some things need hagasha, not tenufa, some things take neither, some things take both. So this is a continuation, and we finally get to describing to you those things that require tenufa and not hagasha. We've been talking about hagasha until now was our focus. Now let's take a look at the kind of korbanos that need tenufa. So the lok shemen shel mitzorah, which we've already seen before, is considered to be one of the types of menachas. It's a very interesting mincha because it's basically just oil. I mean, we've got menachas that are just solet, right? And here we've got a mincha that is just oil. So, wow, okay. And then, of course, we have minchas nesachim. I mean, you can include that as being a type of minchas. So we have minchas that are yayin. So that particular interesting mincha of the lukshap, sorry, of Mitzorah, actually needs to be waved together with the asham and the lub shaman. Together are waves. Ikriv oto la asham. So the Torah puts together the log shemen and the asham itself to do a tenufa with the two together. And there's also another carbon that requires tenufa and does not get a hagasha. And that is an interesting type of carbon because it's the bikurim. And therefore, it can't be brought on the Mizbeach at all. And there's no Hagasha because of that. But according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, there is a din of waving around the Bikurim. We'll see where he gets that. Then we also have the Emurim of the Shalmei Yochid are also waved. The Tufa is done together with the Chaz of Ashok, like we saw in the Parsha of the Miluim. So we had that Shok ha-truma, v'chaze ha-tenufa, al ishei ha-chalavim, yaviu la-nif tufa lifnei Hashem. So that means take the shok and the chaze. These are the gifts that are given to the kayanim, except on Shmini Limiluim Gufa, where actually Moshe Rabbeinu shares there because he was doing some of the Aveda until then. And finally, the kayanim get their own on Shmini Limiluim. So the shok of the truma and the chazeh of the tenufa are together waved with the actual chalavim, meaning together with the emurim. So this is another, without any kind of hagasha, obviously involved here, and there's tenufa. Now, the halacha about this tenufa is that echad anashim ve'echad nashim. Actually, what this ends up meaning, as we're going to see, what we think it means now, is whether it's a man or a woman, they do a tenufa. But that's not what it means. It means whether the carbon is a carbon that is being brought by a male, or whether the carbon is brought by a female, it needs, the particular ones we mentioned, need the tenufa. But that doesn't mean that it's done by a female. Because b'yisrov v'lo b'acherim, b'yisrov v'lo b'acherim, b'pashtus you'd think means with Jews and not for non-Jews. But in fact it means b'zichre Yisrov v'lo b'acherim. It means only males of Yisrov and not neither females of Yisrov or non-Jews. But we'll talk about that in the Gemara. The Shtei HaLechem and the Shnei Kivsei Atzeret, remember, they have a unique kind of tenufa, because as we saw before, we do tenufa twice with them. First, we actually do a tenufa when they're alive, together with the bread. So we put the Shtei HaLechem on the actual living animals, and then we do the regular, after we do the Shechita and so on, we do the regular tenufa that we would do with the Shlamim, we do later on. Which is, like we just said, this way we do the Chaz of Ashok together with the Emurim, and here together with the Lechem. So Kate said, who else? Noten Shtei HaLechem, Agabe Shnei HaKvasim. So while the two Kivsei Atzeret are alive, and we haven't done the Shechita, we take the Shtei HaLechem, put it on top, put them on top of the Shnei HaKvasim, Umeniach Shtei Yadav Milamata, the Kohen puts two hands underneath both of them, Molich Umevi Maale Umorid. And every tenufa is done with two movements. You go out, away from your body, and then bring them back towards your body. You lift them up towards the sky and lower them. And that we see from the Pasuk, Asher Hu Naf V'Asher Hu Ram. So when we refer to something that was tenufa, once again, this is all from our parshiot. We just had this for the last week. So the Asher Hu Naf, Asher Hu Ram is the description of what's done at the time of the Miluim. Where did you do the tenufa? So the Hagasha, we know, needed to be done on the southwest corner because it needed to be Al Pnei HaMizbeach, and it also needed to be Lifnei Hashem. And the only way that we could get both of those requirements was by putting it Al Pnei HaMizbeach to the Doraim, which is the way that you approach the Mizbeach. And if it has to be Lifnei Hashem, then it would have to be on the side that was near to the Heichal, because that's the only place where you have a Yesod. Now, it's not as if the whole Mizbeach is not Lifnei Hashem. The whole Mizbeach is also Lifnei Hashem. But if there's a necessity for Yesod, then Lifnei Hashem can only mean where there is a Yesod on Mizbeach on the west side. Why? Because there was no Yesod on the corner that was both a Pnei Mizbeach and also Lifnei Hashem. If you're going to use the east side, because the east side at the corner of the southeast, there was, remember, no Yesod whatsoever. On the other side, so at least on the western side, you had, on the southwest side, you had that one Amma of the Yesod. Then you have the entire west, and then you have the entire north, and then you have the one Amma on the east. But on the south of the east, you have nothing. So therefore, there was no way that Hagasha could have been done anywhere but the southwest. But how about when it comes to tenufa? Tenufa doesn't matter. You could even do the tenufa in the east. The Hagasha, that, yes, needs to be done definitely in the west. And if you have a chiyuv of both tenufa and Hagasha, so in those unique cases, you do, let's say, the Omer, right? So the Omer, you have the need for both Hagasha and Tenufa. We'll see we have the same halacha by the other carbon that's brought from barley, which is the Minchas Kenaot. So there, if you have two things to be done, Tenufa comes first, because it says by the lashon of the bringing of the minchas kanos for the sota. So it says, "V'lakacha kohen miyada yishat minchata kanaot veheniv et hamincha lifnei Hashem veikrivota el hamizbeach." So then that means that we therefore have the tnufa before bringing it up close to the mizbeach. Okay, what are those menachos? Minchas haomer and the minchas kanaot. Those are the ones that require both Hagosha and Tenufa. And what is the fourth variant? The fourth variant was there's some, the Mishnah said, that don't require either Tenufa or Hagosha. What is that? That's the Lechem HaPanim and the Minchas Nesachim. Einan Teunot Lo Hagosha, the Lo Tenufa. And we said that, as we saw before, we had a Miut that we don't do Hagosha. Wherever it doesn't say to do tenufa, there's obviously no chiyuv of tenufa, and therefore there is no reason to do either. Rabbi Shimon says, let me make things clear in another way. You know, we've got three mitzvahs, and we have three types of karbonos. And these three mitzvahs are separated between these three karbonos in such a way that every single one of these three karbonos has two out of the three of these mitzvahs, but not the third of these mitzvahs. In which case, if you put these three karbonas up against, three types of karbonas up against these three separate mitzvahs, you have an easy way of actually making a graph of what goes where. So we have shlosha minim that need altogether shalosh mitzvahs, but you only have shtayim of those three mitzvahs, b'chol achat ve'achat, and none of them has all three. So shlishit ain't behem. So let me tell you what they are. We have the zivchei shalmei yochid, we have the zivchei shalmei tzibur, which is for shvuas, and we have the osha mitzera. So let me explain myself here. The zivchei shalmei yochid, they require a very special mitzvah, namely smicha. While if you're talking about the zivchei shalmei yachid, they require smicha, that's one of these three mitzvahs, and smicha is done v'samach yado al rosh korbano and then ushkato. So smicha is done before shchita, so smicha is done chayim, and after shchita, as we just saw, we do tenufa. And how do we do the tenufa? We do the tenufa with the chos of a shok together with the emurim. But they don't have the third mitzvah, which is tnufa while they are alive. So the three mitzvot would be smicha, tnufa shrutim, and tnufa chayim. Now, on the other hand, the zivchei shalmei tzibur have two separate tnufas, but they don't have smicha. So they are to unip tnufa both chayim and shrutim, but there is no smicha when it comes to, we're going to see that tomorrow, that the reason they don't have smicha, really the only reason that we don't do smicha is because of halacha l'meshe misina. But there's no smicha. So that's the third mitzvah they don't have. The asha mitzera has two mitzvahs, namely smicha and tenufa chai. Only, but it does not have tenufa when it's shochut. So if you put those three together, you get three mitzvahs, smicha, tenufa chai, and tenufa shochut. Says the Braita. So let's explain what the Mokar is for all of this. Tana Rabbana. We talked about the Asha Mitzora with its Lukshemen. And we said that that Lukshemen requires Tenufa together with it. So it says there, V'ikrivo tola Asham, ve'et log Ashamen, ve'nifotam Tenufa. Melamed tunim Tenufa ke'echad. So since it says to bring them together, and then enif otam, you wave both of them. So that's the tenufa. What would be if you wave them separately? Would be yotze, or you'd have to do it again? Minayin she'im enif zeba atzmo, vezeba atzmo, that bini avad, if you didn't put the two of them together, the lukshema together with the asher mitzera, you would still be yotze, and you would be doing the mitzvah of tenufa. Now, yotze does not mean yotze your carbon, because anyway, tenufa is not ma'akev. So remember, when it says yotze over here, it just means you would be yotze the mitzvah But certainly, we're not talking about Li'ikuva over here. So therefore, how do I know that the mitzvah itself, you can be yotze through doing separate tenufas? I know that from the Lashon V'ikriv oto la'asham ve'hiniv. So over here, when it says ve'hiniv, mashma, there it says that only on the lukshemen, mashma that you would be yotze just with that. You might think that, no, it's not there to tell me you'd be yotze just with that. It's to tell me you have to do both. You have to do a tenufa of them together, and then you have to do a tenufa of them separately. Maybe that's what it means. So yoko yaniv v'yachzir v'yaniv, Talmud lomar, why does it repeat the word yaniv otam tenufa? That's to tell me only one tenufa, v'lo tenufot. And then when it ends the pasuk by saying lifnei Hashem, that can mean even in the Mizrach. What? But all through the Masechet, we've been saying that lifnei Hashem, we said maybe that means it has to be mamish on the Ma'arav. So we said, no, it says lifnei Mizbeach. So it means a combination of Ma'arav and Mizrach. And now all of a sudden you're telling me lifnei Hashem includes the East. How is that possible? Because, my dear, we're talking about two different things. If you're talking about the mincha, since a mincha is called a chatas, remember, ki chatat v'cha asham, that was the strange way that we learned the dinim of the mincha, and remember, we had the beautiful diyukim, bola of the biyad, bola of the bekli, but the bottom line is that the Torah compares the mincha to a chatas, and since the chatas is to una yisod, it redefines for us what the lifnei Hashem is, because something that's called a chatas cannot possibly mean lifnei Hashem on the Mizrach, because the Keren Dromit Mizrachit, lo yalo yisod, so you can't put it there. So where you're talking about the Mincha, we were 100% justified in saying that this God cannot possibly be on the Tzad Mizrach. Mashenken over here, I mean, there's no din that calls is a Metzora and is Asha Metzora. There's no place that it's called a Chatas. So therefore, it doesn't require Yisod. And because of that, the entire Mizbeach is still called Lifnei Hashem. So you could even do it on the side that's to the east. Continues the Mishnah. And Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Bikurim also need the Tnufa. Now, where did that come from? My Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, show me what his marker is. D'tanya. V'lakach ha-kohen et ha-tena mi-yadecha. What does that tell us? Limeid ala bikurim she-tu'unim tnufa. The fact that it says, take those bikurim from your hand, imply that he has to wave them. Huh? How do you see that? My time, the Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. What is there about v'lakach ha-kohen ha-tena mi-yadecha that tells me that you need a tnufa? Well, what he's really basing it on is a gzeres shava. And he's learning Yad Yad Mishlamim. Here it says, V'lakacha koina tenam yadecha. And here it says, by the Shlamim, Yadav tivienu et ishe Hashem. And therefore, just like where it said, Yadav tivienu, and it was talking about over there, the chazav v'shok of the Shlamim to do tenufa. So here it was talking about the Bikurim and the Lakicha of the Kohen would be Adav, and this is clearly the same idea. Do Tenufa. So, but there's also another Diak, and that is just like it says over here by the Bikurim, the Lakacha Kohen, it has to be the Kohen. There too, even though it says Yadav to Vienna, which is referring to the Bialim, it also has got to be referring to a Kohen. And just like here in the case of the Shlomim and the Chazav Shok, it says Yadav Tevienu, and that is referring to the one who's bringing the Kohen, and that's the Baalim. Afkan Baalim. So is that a contradiction? I mean, in one place it says the Kohen does it, in the other place it says the Baalim does it, and then it's compared the two through Xerishova. How do we square that? Okay, it's not. Very simple. They both do it. Kohen meniach yado tachat yedei Baalim. So this is a big machlokas. Remember, we've discussed this many times about how that's done. The Tosfos Hashita is that you don't actually, the question, can you put your hand literally underneath the hand of the Baalim? L'chor, that's a chatzitza. So Tosfos says that that's gotta be a chatzitza. And what it means is that he puts it lower not underneath the hands of the pilot, but lower on the carbon than the hands of the pilot. But both of them are in direct contact without a chatzitza with the actual item that you're doing the tnufa to. Okay, not everybody agrees with that. And actually, Tosis himself in other places points out that there's rayas that that isn't true and that this is a chiddush akra, that it's not considered to be a chatzitza. But in any event, certainly it means both of them need to be involved in the actual tenufa. So why did you say, I'm just curious, you say, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, as if like this is unique, Shita is the only one who holds that Bikurim need tenufa. Well, I mean, there are other Shitas, not from the same Mocker in the Pasuk, but I mean, we do have Rabbi Yehuda who says that Bikurim needs tenufa, and he gives another reason for it. But nonetheless, we could have quoted him, couldn't we? We could have said, Anna, Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, then we do need tenufa. So why didn't we say that? We could have said, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I mean, why do we quote only Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Where does Rabbi Yehuda say it? Well, here, listen to this bright, to the Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, since it says in the Pasuk that after we got it to Yom Lashem Lekechav, so then Velakacha Kohen, and then after Velakacha Kohen Atenem Yadecha, which we've been discussing this whole time, it says Vehinicho Lifnei Hashem Lekecha. And then we do the Mikra Bikurim, and then it says Vinachto Lifnei Hashem Lekecha Vishtachavita. Fine. So when we understand that the Lashon of Vehinachto, now, this is a little bit of a problem because the Vihinach is probably a misquote. And indeed, the Gross says it's a misquote. We got mixed up here between the Vihinicho and the Vihinachto, because the Vihinachto is the closing after Mikra Bikurim, is the Vihinachto by the Ishtachavoya. And the Vihinicho is the one that we should be referring to first. The Vihinicho, that was the one that we said is referring to the Tenufa. So it should say, Vihinicho zo tenufa, ataomer zo tenufa, maybe means just putting it down on the ground. No, because at the end of the parsha, kishu omer vihinachto, it should say, hare hanacha amur. So what is this prior hinicho? So ma animi kayem vihinicho, instead of the hinachto, that's got to be an earlier event. And that earlier event is referring to the tenufa. Anyway, that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns it, right? So the question is, why would we only quote Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov when we have exactly the same shita by Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Rava, well, look, I mean, take a look. Who mentions the first drusha in the pasuk? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because he said, Vilakacha kohen atenem yadecha. That's the first words of the pasuk, right? Then the Vihinicho. That's the next word. But that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we learned that only from after the time that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov knows it already. So therefore, if we're going to quote, and according to whom, who should we quote? The one who first sees in this pasuk the din of the tenufa directly from the word velakach. That's the beginning of the pasuk. So we start with the first person who saw that halach in the pasuk. So ha'olupatach ba'akatuv t'chila. Rav Nachum Yitzchak says, that's not why. The reason that we would choose Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is because, remember our klal, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was called Kav Vinaki. There's not much that he's been quoted on in the Mishnah, but whatever he says is always 100% on the spot. And therefore, if you want to quote somebody and you want to say, this is a really chashuv shita, then according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that's why. So it's Hov Rav Guvrei. This man is a champion. So, of course, we will quote him. Okay. Then we said, the next case that we had in the Mishnah was to, together with the Chazav HaShok, you also take the Emurim, put them together. This is not the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor's first option. Over there, the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor has to be done while they're alive. But a personal Shlomim, so Shalmei Yochi, is actually, we do a tenufa after the Shlita, together, the Chazav HaShok, together with the Emurim. And then you said, Echad Anashim, the Echad Nashim. But then you contradict yourself by saying, Be Yisrael, Avaloba Acherim. Now, look, the truth is that this is sort of a tricky shortcut. Because, I mean, obviously what we should have said is, you know, when it says B'Israel, why would that be a contradiction to women? Aren't women Yisrael? But the truth is that since we know that the basis of the drasha is B'nei Yisrael, V'lo B'not Yisrael, so because of that, we pretend that we already know that, and we're talking already to the sophisticated reader, and the sophisticated reader knows that when you say B'Yisrael V'lo B'Acherim, you're saying not with women. Besides the din and not ba'akum. So therefore, we just take for granted that's where we're going to end up. And we ask it as a contradiction. First, you say whether it's men or women. And then you say, no, it's only if it's men. How do you explain that? Maika Amar. Amar, Rav Yehuda Achik Amar. The first part that says, Echad Anashim, Echad Nashim, is not referring to men or women. It's referring to men or women's korban. So whether the one who's offering the korban is male, or the one who's offering the is female, that carbon requires tnufa. So if it's a woman who's offering it, so then the kohen does the tnufa alone. If it's a zohar that's bringing it, so then, like we said, yadav tivienu, so then you have the owner, the male, doing it together with the kohen. But what's important is the kohen. And if in fact, it's the carbon of a nashim, so then the kohen does it by himself. So the Hachikama, it's true that Echad Anashim, the Echad Nashim, who bring a korban, that korban is done tenufa. But who does the tenufa? The tenufa atzma is done only with B'nai Yisrael, avolo B'dei Nashim. That's the point. Tana Rabbanan. As the Braisa explains, when it comes to tenufa, only B'nai Yisrael are menifin, because it says, Daberal B'nai Yisrael, from which we darshan, not of the Kochavim. Ain't of the Kochavim anything because they're not Yisrael, and only B'nai Yisrael anything. But ain't not Shim anything because they're not B'nai. As Rav Yossi points out, we know that when it comes to Smicha, we have the same diak, right? So over there, it also says, Daber al B'nai Yisrael v'somach. And over there, it also means that B'nai Yisrael v'lo b'not Yisrael somchot. Remember the whole question that we had in Chagiga, whether they allowed the women who wanted to be somchot, if they would be somchot without pressing, or whether we're geyser, maybe they're going to press, and if they press, then it'll be usher because it's me. Anyway, but the ikar din is that women were not somchot. So the equivalent of dancing with Sefer Torahs on the Yontav was in those days, oh, we women, we have the right to be somchot, and we insist that we, and that was the whole issue then. So fine. So every generation's got its problems. So in any event, the question is, if there's no B'not Yisrael somchot, that means, as Rabbi Yossi points out, that there is no smicha on that carbon, because you can't have somebody else do the smicha for you. The whole point of the smicha is the violent. Masha Einkein, when you're talking about tenufa, if Ein Benot Yisrael Nufot, if they don't do the tenufa, menifot, so then there's still the kohen to do the tenufa. See, because tenufa does not require dafka, the bialim. So there's a big difference between the word B'nai Yisrael in the two sugyas, Rabbi Yossi points out. Because where you're doing with smicha, it means it's a din in the korban. If it's not B'nai Yisrael, then it's nobody. And therefore, that korban is a mechuyim and smicha. Masha Enke, when it comes to tenufa, even though it's the same diag B'nai Yisrael, but if it's not the B'nai Yisrael, so fine, so it's the kohen, or you can even have a shliach do tenufa for you. You don't need to be the person who's going to, the owner who has to bedafka do the tenufa. So therefore, points out Rabbi Yossi, look, matzinu shechalaka katuv ben korban Yisrael le korban akum le korban nashim, when it came to smicha, it's the carbon that's different. Because if there's no smicha, it's a din that the carbon requires no smicha. So you might think the same thing would be true of the tenufa, where it says exactly the same language, B'nai Yisrael, and not Akum, B'nai Yisrael, and not B'not Yisrael. And you might think that there should be the same thing, that there should be no chiyuv of tenufa on a B'not Yisrael carbon. No, it would be a ridiculous mistake. Because, look, Mali Chalak B'Tzmicha, Sha'asmicha B'Ba'alin. If you're telling me that the carbon is different when it comes to smicha, that's true, because there is no other option. If the Torah says that Benot Yisrael aren't somchot, so it means that Benot Yisrael's carbon doesn't require smicha, because nobody else can do it. Does that mean that when it comes to Tenufa, that we should assume that when the Benot Yisrael are not somchot, that the carbon doesn't require Tenufa? Why not? Nachalok B'Tenufa? With the Kohenim. So therefore, what would be the meaning of telling me not Benot Yisrael when it comes to Tenufa? Im kein matam lomar B'nei Yisrael B'Tenufa? B'nei Yisrael menifin ve'eno de kachovim menifin. B'nei Yisrael menifin ve'en anashim menifot. But that's only in terms of the doing the Tenufa. But the carbon? Carbon requires Tenufa. Tanya Idach, B'nei Yisrael. Ainli Ella B'nei Yisrael. How do I know that Gerim, Avadim, Meshuchrarim are not excluded over here because of this wild insistence on B'davka, the B'nei Yisrael as opposed to the B'nei Yisrael? So maybe it means also B'nei Yisrael, that it were someone that was born into B'nei Yisrael Milchatchila. How do we know that there's no difference between Gerim and Avadim, Meshuchrarim? They're all part of the B'nei Yisrael. Talmud Lomar, Hamakriv. Remember the lotion of the Pasuk? There's Dabero B'nei Yisrael Lomar. Hamakriv et Zevach Shalamav LaHashem. It's one of these unbelievable Pasukim we've spoken about so many times. Seems to be a Pasuk that is saying nothing. Hamakriv et Zevach Shalamav LaHashem. Yavi et Karbano LaHashem Yzevach Shalamav. What? Okay. So that means that whoever the Makriv is, he is the one that has to get his carbon in there, and he is the one that actually will see to it that the tenufa is done. But how do you know that? Maybe the word hamakriv means literally hamakriv. Maybe it means the carbon being brought. Who brings the carbon? The kohen. So maybe the makriv is a reference to the kohen. Oh, eino ela ze kohen hamakriv. No, you see, because that's all part of that strange introduction in Shlomim, where it says, Yadav tivienu. Well, what do you mean, Yadav tivienu? Because that was the whole point. The one who's bringing it, he's the one that's responsible. Yakrivet Korbano, therefore, is referring to him. That's the Baalim that we're referring to. And then when it says, it continues on to say, Hamakriv, it's the Yadav that were tivienu, whoever he is. And therefore, we're talking about, what if it's not a Ben Yisrael? Or what if it's an Evan Mishukhrar, and so on. So, Haketzad, now, we said, so if you need both the Kohen, which we learned from Lakach HaKohen, and the Baalim, which is the Yadav Tevienu. So how do we make it work? So we said, Haketzad, Kohen meniach Yadav tachat yedei HaBaalim umeinif. And where do we do this? Ketzad Oseh, he takes the Emurim, because we have over here the Chazon HaShok. So how exactly do we put it on? And what do we do if we're talking about a Korban Taida? Or what if we're talking about an El Nazir? Where over there we also have lechem that was given to the Kohen, and we have to take the lechem also, as it mentions in the Pasuk. You need to take the lechem together with the Chazon HaShok. It says, Misal HaMatzot, Asher Lifnei Hashem, Lakach Chalat Matzah Achat V'Chalat Lechem Shalom. So this was in the Miluim, Vayosem Al HaChalavim V'Al Shok HaYamin. So we got a big pile of stuff over here, right? So how do we do it? So first we take the Emurim and we put it on the palm of the Kohen. On top of that goes the Chazon HaShok. And in the event that we also have Lechem, where would that event be? Well, it could be you're bringing a Shlomim, which is a Taida. Or it could be you're bringing a Shlomim, which is an El Nazir. And the Taida would require three separate Lechemim on top. I mean, we don't bring Chometz, but the others we bring. And the El Nazir requires both the Chalat and the Rechuva. They only have two types, but we put them on top. So the bread goes on top of this. And where do we see that? Eicha. The place where we see all of this is in the story of the Miluim. Because that's what it says. Misal HaMatzot, Asher Lifnei Hashem. Lakach chalat matzah achat, chalat lechem shemen achat, rakik achat, and what do you do with it? Vayosem al hachalavim, and that is al hachalavim ve'al shok hayamin. So that seems to be the place. And why do we put Dafka? I mean, that pasuk doesn't mean that you put the Chaz of Ashok on the Emurim. If anything, it means the opposite. It says, Alach Alavim Val Shok HaYamin. So where'd you get the first part from? You said you put the Chaz of Ashok on top of the Emurim, and here it says the opposite. So my time. I mean, is it because Shok HaTruma V'Chaze HaTenufa Al Isheach Alavim Yaviu Lahaniv Tenufa? But it also says Etz HaChelev Al HaChaze Yavienu. So I'm very confused. So does the Chelev go on top? Or does the Shok HaTruma V'Chaze HaTenufa go on top of the Chalavim? Because the pasuk seems to contradict itself. Omar Abaye, I think we better stop because it goes on. No, we can go on to Shteilechem. Okay. Omar Abaye, actually, that pasuk is talking about that the Kohen, who is coming to tell me that the Kohen takes it from the Beit HaMitbachayim, which was Kineget, the Kesel, of the Tzvonis of the Mizbeach, and he first, Veromile, he first puts those Emurim on top of the Chaz of Ashok. Then he takes it and puts it onto the hands of another Kohen, because he's the one that has to put it on the palms of a Kohen with his right hand. So what was initially on the bottom is now on top, because where you put it on top, it turns out that that goes on directly onto the palm. So the Emurim go onto the palm with the Chaz of Ashok now on top. But what about the pasuk va'aksiv va'yasimu et ha'chalavim al ha'chazot? But it also says to Bedavka to put it on the chazot. You said that he puts it the other way around. No, ahu di'ovle le'koin achrina. That, you're right. That means that the second Kohen, we've got three Kohanim here. The first Kohen that we're talking about, he is the one that takes the from the Beit HaMitbachayim, he takes the Emurim, and he put it on top of the Kohen that had picked up the Chaz of Ashok. So now you have the Emurim on top of the Chaz of Ashok. He hands it to the next Kohen. The next Kohen, he puts it on the hands of the next Kohen, has the Chaz of Ashok on the top. And that Kohen gives it to another Kohen who brings it up to the Mizbeach, and when he gives it to that Kohen, the Chaz of Ashok is on the bottom, and that's after the Tenufa and so on, he's bringing it onto the Mizbeach, and he is Ozil Umaktirle, and he goes and brings it on the Mizbeach, and it's coming to tell me exactly by making these contradictions in the Seder of the Psukim, HaKamashron de Be'inon Shilosha Kohanim, that we should have B'davka three Kohanim, which are involved in doing this, and that's an inyan of Barova Madras Melach. That's not very efficient, is it? That's the whole point. The Hidur of a Melech is not efficiency. The Hidur of the Melech is care, involvement, as much as possible in order to show the covet of the Malchus.
In the coronation, like every single thing, every move is another person moving it step by step.
Yes. Mamash. This was the coronation in a sense. We're learning it out of the Meluyim. Just that we do it every time like that. Yes, very nice. Very nice dogma in the coronation. Yeah. Beautiful.